Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Good News for Some.
First scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Listen to God's word. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is God's word.
We'll continue reading from Luke 4, verse 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometown the things we heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in a prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Sarepth in Sidon. And there were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off of the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again here for the reading of your word, and Lord, now for the preaching of it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open and illuminate our hearts. And I pray, Spirit, that the words of my mouth and also that the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the fun things that I was able to do during my Christmas break was I got to meet another young Southern Baptist preacher. And we were going back and forth about the length of our sermons and the length of our services. And he was surprised to know that we Presbyterians, we hold it to 15 to 20 minutes. It, you know, if I'm feeling extra naughty, maybe 22 or 24 minutes. And he says, "Gosh, that's just enough time for me to get my intro going." And he said, "Yeah, we do 45-minute sermons." I said, "Woof." I said, "I don't even know what I would say for 45 minutes. So I'm going to try this morning." I'm kidding. No, we'll keep it Presbyterian this morning. You know, one of the things that I love to do also at both the close and at the beginning of the year is I like to review where I've grown, what have been some of my challenges. But more importantly, I like to really just reflect and pray about the gospel. What is the good news, and am I living into it? And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be taking a look at the mission of Jesus and particularly how Jesus defines the good news, that which he said that he came to bring. And recently, this understanding that Jesus speaks about of the good news struck a chord with me from an article that I read in the Washington Post. There was a young girl, her name was Florence. She was a young girl from a family in London, and she was sitting down to write Christmas greetings when she giggled because someone had already written inside one of the cards that they had just bought. Her parents come and they say, wondering, why is Florence giggling? And she says, look, somebody wrote inside of this card. And as her parents peer down and saw what was read, it says, we are prisoners forced to work against our will. Please contact Peter Humphrey. As the story unfolds, the card company and Peter Humphrey are contacted. And it comes to light that Mr. Humphrey and his wife were political prisoners in China and had undergone very inhumane conditions. And it seems that the prisoners had worked in this card factory and had written this note in the hopes that one of those that had gotten out, Peter Humphrey, would be able to advocate for them. As the story ends, it says this is an ongoing investigation. The card company is being investigated. But when I read that story, I thought immediately of Luke chapter 2, and especially when the shepherds declare, when God declares to the shepherds as they were watching in the night, he says, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And as I thought about those verses in that article in the Washington Post, I said, thank God that the good news is still applicable today. In his first public sermon, according to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has returned to his hometown of Nazareth after spending some time in the northern Galilean region of Israel. And the Galilean region of Israel was known as a mixture of both Jews and Gentiles that lived together. Luke doesn't tell us what happened or what exactly took place during those weeks that Jesus was launching his public ministry in Galilee. But word of his ministry had spread that by the time that he arrives in Nazareth, he has enough spiritual credibility to be able to speak at the synagogue. And so as Jesus preached that day, he's handed the scroll of Isaiah and he unrolls it. And as the preacher for that morning, he's supposed to pick out what text and what exactly he wants to talk about. And so he goes to Isaiah 61 and he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. These scriptures that Jesus read were very familiar scriptures to his audience in the first century. They were scriptures that were quoted constantly, not only in the services of the synagogue, but also in the temple. Because there was great hope in the first century that a Messiah would come, someone that would liberate Israel from Roman oppression, someone that would establish finally on earth that reign of justice and righteousness, just like King David had established during his lifetime. And so these scripture verses were scriptures of hope, of promise, that God has not forgotten his people. God has not forgotten the suffering, the poverty, the oppression that they have gone through, but ultimately that God will finally forgive Israel for their sins. You see, in the first century, the Jews believed that the reason why they were not a nation completely was because they were still suffering the ramifications of the diaspora, of the exile. So when Jesus utters these words that day, Luke wants us to feel just like they felt that morning or that afternoon when Jesus read those words, the weight of completion and fulfillment. Finally, Luke says, we have the one that we have been asking for. Finally, we have the one that we have been promised. Finally, we have the one who will bring good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind. Luke immediately says, finally, the good news has come. So this morning, I want to touch real briefly on these two descriptors that Jesus uses for understanding the good news. He says, he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and he says also to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Now, the first thing that Jesus does as he speaks that day is he identifies himself as the good news. He is the embodiment of it. And really what Jesus is saying to this crowd, and he's really saying to us, I am both credible, I am both worthy, and I am both able to be the message of proclamation of good news, of salvation, of grace, of justice, of mercy. I am this good news. In me, through me, all of these promises are being fulfilled. Jesus says this at a very powerful moment in his ministry. But Jesus says here, I have come to proclaim good news to the poor. I often reflect on what is the good news for a few reasons. One of them is because ultimately the good news is what you and I call the gospel. And I think that it becomes very easy to turn the gospel into just spiritual things. Forgiveness of sins, the grace of God to pardon us. And I think that is exactly 100% dead on. But there's also another aspect that Jesus talks about, and it's a social aspect of what the gospel is. It is not both and, but it is both, or both or, but it is and. It is both spiritual and social. And so Jesus says, I come to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, there are a few ways we could read this. One way is either those that are economically poor, and then the other is those who are spiritually poor. But I think if we read it that simply, we are missing out on really what Jesus is talking about here. For Jesus, the poor, and maybe you can identify with this, maybe you know someone that can identify with this. For Jesus, the poor are those who are so broken by life that they have no more heart to try. Those who are so bound up in their various addictions that liberty and release are a cruel mirage. Those who think they will never experience the favor of the Lord or see his vengeance meted out against those who have misused them. Those who think that their lives hold nothing more than ashes, sackcloths, and fainting heaviness of despair. Jesus says, to these I have come to bring the good news. There's this dimension that Jesus wants us to know. There is real suffering. There are real hardships in life. There are people who, out of desperation, have to scribble in a card for help so that someone might come and save them. This is the world that Jesus talks about. I love what Nick said this morning. if you caught it. Jesus came to a world that was full of violence, full of war, full of disease. And he says, I come to this world to bring good news to the poor. The other thing that Jesus says here is he says, I've come to bring recovery of sight to the blind. This is actually a very powerful statement. It's a bit symbolic. There is the actual healing of someone being blind. Jesus says, I will heal the blind. And we definitely see that in his ministry at least two times, where he heals blind persons and helps them to see once again. But really here, what Jesus is also talking about is he's talking about those that are spiritually blind, those that do not have any type of sensitivity or understanding of who God is, that God is actually trying to reach out and touch them, get them back involved. And in a sense, what Jesus is saying is the spiritually blind need to recover. I don't know if you've known people that have been spiritually blind in your life, but these are people who are very disastrous because they are very unaware of what's going on around them. They think that everything is okay, and so they behave and do as people who think everything is okay. They're spiritually blind. Spiritually blind people do not see their blind spots. They also, Jesus says, they wreak havoc, not only upon themselves, but the people that love and care for them as well. Jesus says to those that are spiritually blind, he says, I will give you back recovery of sight. And the spiritually blind, we understand in the gospel, are those who need to repent, those who need to ask for forgiveness, those who need to know the grace of God once again. And Jesus says in this moment, he says, my good news is also to bring you back into relationship with me, to bring you back into the fold, to set you free of the spiritual disease that eats at you. In just this verse, Jesus lays out for us what is the good news. And I'm challenged by it, and I hope you are too. Because in the first century, when people heard these words, they were very excited about them. But they were excited about them for the wrong reasons. You see, when they read these words, they thought to themselves, or heard them, they thought to themselves, this is now our promise for us Jews, us who live in Israel, that God will finally enact vengeance on all of our enemies. God will drive out the Romans. God will do these miraculous works in our midst, and the Gentiles will be forgotten and no longer a part of our lives. It was only good news for some that day. But Jesus still has to change the paradigm a bit. And in fact, that's what we'll talk about next week, is good news for all. What does it mean when God invites and when God welcomes all people into his church, into this ministry? And we'll look at that. But I want to close with this final thought. As I said, one of the things that I love to do, and I actually will invite you to do this with me this morning, I believe that all of us here, we follow after Christ. If not, we'll have a moment to be invited to receive that invitation. But for those of us that are seasoned, have been walking with Christ, I want this morning for us to rededicate ourselves to the good news of Jesus Christ, that not only will we see those who are spiritually blind and will come around them, will love them, will guide them, will teach them about the good news of Christ, but also that we'll see the real needs that are in our world, and we will be a part of the solution. We'll be a part of the prayers that brings about that justice and righteousness that Jesus talks about as well. And so if you'll close your eyes with me this morning, I want to first invite anyone in this room who is here and maybe has been far away from the church, far away from Christ, and is here this morning and just says, I want to know Christ. And really, the Spirit has already been getting a hold of you for a long time. And now just comes that moment where you can respond to that Spirit's nudging and say, I believe. And so I invite you this morning to accept the good news of Jesus Christ, the peace and the love that he brings to you. Pray for those of us here who have walked with you, Jesus. We love you, we cherish you, and ultimately we want to please you because you're our Lord, you're our Savior, you're the King of our hearts. I pray, God, that we would rededicate ourselves in this coming year to see those who are spiritually lost and blind among us. Lord, may we reach out with true love, true grace, and also, God, may we see the real needs that are around, not only in our own families and our neighborhoods, but in our cities. And God, may we be a part of this work of restoration that you are doing and that you also call the good news. Father, I'm so thankful that the good news calls my whole life, not a part of it, but every aspect of my being. And so, Father, I want, we want to be a part of the good news with you. Holy Spirit, in these moments of silence, I ask you, please speak to my friends. Please speak to my family here. Please speak, Holy Spirit.